Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Well, welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Really honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, you hear this from me every day. I look forward to meeting with you every single day. Bring you conversations that will inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and even heighten your awareness of God's presence in your life. So honored to welcome my friend Liz Curtis-Higgs to the program today. We've got an interesting show planned. She wants to talk about the parable of the rich young fool. And she says this one is personal for her. You know, it reminds me of that commercial, I don't know why, when that woman's like, your dad says it's personal this time. The squirrels are jumping around the back of the window. But this is one of those personal things, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say. Normally, we draw from one of her books, like Bad Girls of the Bible, and she'll bring that passage to life. But this woman brings every passage of Scripture to life. But both Lizzie and I are operating on very little sleep, I'll just say that. And we're operating on faith this time because we're going to see where God takes us. But I really want you to chime into the conversation. I have this feeling that this conversation will evolve into just the idea of how God deals with us. He guards and he guides us and he leads us. And I don't know if you know this about me yet, but I love it when I hear from you and you chime in. So this is a back and forth conversation. So even if it doesn't feel like it fully connects with what Lizzie and I are talking about, it will, trust me. How is God speaking to you these days? What is he dealing with you about? Is he asking you to make kind of course corrections here, there, or somewhere else? I want you to text in 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And one more quick announcement. If you've got a dream to be published, even if you're afraid, or maybe you have published a book or two, but you want to take some next steps in that publishing career, we've got an epic writers conference coming up in July, July 12th and 13th. We've got an A-list faculty of editors, agents, experts in the field. We would love for you to join us. Lizzie's keynoted that thing 2 years in a row. Check out our website, myfaithradio.com, for more information. Well, Liz Curtis-Higgs is a best-selling author, listen to this, whose books have sold millions of copies. She's an award-winning speaker, a former radio DJ, and she's a woman who brings God's Word to life for us. We're honored to have her with us today. Dear Lizzie, bless you for joining us.
Well, it's such a treat to hear you on the air and on the phone with me. What a blessing, Susie. You've been missed and are welcome home, that's for sure.
Well, thank you, my friend. I've missed it as well. It's just, it does feel like a welcome home to me. I'm so grateful. Well, before we get into the passage, we always love to start, you know, this by talking Scripture, but you come armed with a passage. But I know I want to cut you loose here in just a moment. But I know our listeners have followed your journey, your cancer journey. Wondering if you give us a little update on what's going on.
Well, you know, I call it my cancer adventure.
That's right. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, you know, a journey suggests that there are highs and lows. And of course there are. But an adventure suggests that you're moving forward towards something. You're not just bobbing along in a sea. You are sailing to a destination. And so it has been an adventure and continues to be. I still have treatments every 3 weeks. Instead of chemotherapy, it's immunotherapy, which certainly is easier on the body, though it does have its own side effects too. But you know me really well. I just keep going.
Yeah.
Last year, I did 52 events and had 20 cancer treatments. Just
wow.
Only God. I mean, that isn't anything about wow, Liz. Please don't go there. That's a wow, God. And I'll tell you how I knew it was definitely God, not me. There was one event in particular, Susie, where on a Monday I had my chemotherapy, the full tilt, you know, put the nasty chemicals in your body. And Friday I was to speak. Anybody who has been through chemo or has watched a loved one go through it knows how this works. The day of the chemo, you feel, and it's a little sound weird, you feel fabulous because they have you so pumped with steroids that you're just like unaware of what's going to happen to your body. The next day, you still feel pretty good. The third day, not so good. And the fourth day, you go over the cliff. It's over. You crawl into bed and you don't want to come out for maybe years. Unfortunately, that was the day I was supposed to speak. And my prideful self said, I can do this. So I'm sitting there in the front pew getting ready to get up on the platform and share a message, and I knew I was in deep trouble. Even worse than you and I coming to the radio today with 1 hour sleep, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I sat on that pew and I said, Lord, I can't. I have nothing. I am as empty physically, emotionally, spiritually as I can ever recall in my life. Father, I'm so sorry that I thought I could do this, but I can't. And he said, not a problem. I can. Watch. If you will get up there, just get up the steps, and I know that's going to be challenging. If you can get up those steps, I'll do the rest. So up the steps I went, one step at a time. Oh, my goodness. I felt 100 years old. And I got to the lectern, and I opened my notebook. And God, in his graciousness, just was there. I felt, and have never felt more thoroughly, the flow of his spirit. It was not me, and I knew it. I couldn't even pretend that I had anything to do with it. So the hour finished, God was so present, and the women were so responsive. It was beautiful. So then I went back down the steps and sat down in awe, and I said, Lord, that was 100% you and 0% me. There was a moment of silence in my heart, and God said, Liz, it has always been that way.
Sorry, I didn't see that coming. I don't know why. Forgive me. This is a poignant story, but there's a little correction in there, which is really precious to me. I'm so sorry. And you said?
No, you're right on time, Susie. Good for you. If you had laughed, I wasn't quite sure where I was going next. But it was such an aha for me. Of course it's always him. Why do we ever take upon ourselves with pride or, you know, a false humility or whatever, you call it anything you want, but we think we actually do this stuff. And I realize it is and always has been and always will be all God. Whether it's this hour you and I are going to spend together on the radio, whether it's a message that we're sharing, a paragraph or blog post we're writing, whether it's a conversation with a friend, whether it's sitting down with a teenager and having to talk through hard things, whatever it is that God has for us today, it is his party. We simply have to attend.
Boy, so good. And tell me this now, with these immunotreatments you're going through, if you don't mind, and you don't have to share, but do you have a prognosis? Oh. What are next steps for you?
Sure. Well, this time last year was not a happy time. I got my news that I had a second tumor. It had metastasized. I have to practice saying that word. It's an odd word. Reappeared to me would be such a better word. Came back. But I had another tumor unexpectedly, and a surprise to everybody, including especially my oncologist, who had said, oh, you're doing great. We hardly need to do a CAT scan. But they did one, and they found one. That's when I had more radiation and then this new immunotherapy. So then in June, we had the second tests, and they had these beautiful words. It's usually abbreviated NED, which means no evidence of disease. So happy. I saved, Susie, the phone message back from my sister when she got the news. And on days when I am tempted to despair, I played that phone message and remember what a happy day that was. And then in November, we did the same tests all over again and got the same beautiful news, no evidence of disease. So that's two good ones. And we are right now time to do another one. So in the next 2 weeks, I'll have more CAT scans. When I call it an adventure, this is part of the adventure, is waiting on the Lord, not waiting on the doctors or waiting on the test results. You can't go there. It's not of man. If you can wait on the Lord to reveal to you what's next, knowing that what he has for us is always for our good, then it's not a nervous, you know, oh, no, I can't sleep, can't eat, oh, no, you know, high anxiety. No, it is simply waiting on the Lord. And so I'm in that place right now. And it's actually my favorite place to be.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much for that update. I think we'll pause here because I want to give you all kinds of space and time to unpack the passage, what God's been speaking to you about. regarding the rich young fool. I just am so interested. We're going to pause here. But also, friends, do chime in. Tell us. Don't be quiet now. Tell me, what's God speaking to you about? Maybe he's saying, cut down on sugar. Get to bed on time. You know what he's talking to me about is when I don't sleep and when I have a little bit of a flare and don't feel well, I'm not supposed to catastrophize. I'm not supposed to contemplate the universe. I'm supposed to just know this will pass. This too will pass. I have to guard my mind, my heart. Text me. What's God talking to you about? 877-933-2484. Also, we've got a few books on our Faith Radio shelf that we'd like to get into your hands. If you want to get in a drawing for a random book, kind of a surprise book, email middays@myfaithradio.com. Put surprise book in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. If you want to help Carissa out, tell her what kind of books you're interested in. But it's going to be a fun thing we're going to do every once in a while on middays. Just give some books off of our shelf. Email middays@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a minute. When I feel my heart about to break, I will cling to you. Almost sang right into the mic. I love that song so much, but I thought I would spare you. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to my friend Liz Curtis-Higgs. We're going to jump into what God's been speaking to her about, but I've asked you, chime in. What is God speaking to you about? We'll kind of intermingle those comments throughout the conversation. Lisa checks in from North Dakota, said, God's been reminding me to be praying continually throughout the day, and he will be the renewal of my strength and peace. That's beautiful. Thanks, Lisa. 877-933-2484. Okay, Lizzie, here we go. You, God, normally, I said this at the open of the show, we dig into a story, content from one of your many books, and you and I are kind of taking a leap of faith because there is something burning in your heart, and you maybe it's going to be a neck for you, but it's the rich young fool, the parable in the Gospel of Luke. Take it from there.
Well, first I have to set up maybe what God is doing and why. My husband Bill and I, we've been married, it'll be 33 years in a couple weeks. We're in the process of downsizing, which, you know, for many years I thought meant going on a diet. That's a different kind of downsizing. But, you know, everybody gets to this point, I think, as we mature, and it might be a different age for everybody, but the experience, I think, is fairly universal, where you come to a place and realize the kids are grown, they've got places of their own, you don't need all this space, so it's time to downsize. And I knew it would be hard because we've lived in our house for 26 years. Anytime you've been somewhere that long, you've had a lot of time to fill up the space. So I knew it would be hard physically. What I didn't know, and I also thought it might be hard emotionally. I wasn't sure about that, but I thought, ooh, you know, saying goodbye to stuff, whatever. No, it's way worse than that. It is humbling. It is embarrassing. And I have to just say it. It is humiliating to realize what we have allowed to happen the last 26 years. I thought this little downsizing business was just going to be about getting rid of stuff, but I'm finding out it goes far deeper than that. So what I want to kind of look at today is the spiritual lessons in letting go of stuff. Because as I say, I'm pretty sure it's universal. And if you're not there yet, you will be. And I'm hoping that this will be meaningful to you. Have you, Susie, watched any Marie Kondo or familiar with her books?
I've seen so many posts about her, but I've not read or heard anything from her.
Okay, well, let's just say her cell line is inspiring people to choose joy and complete their tidying adventures. Okay, the choose joy, of course, you and I are fully into that. But to complete the tidying adventure, see, the reality is for most of us, tidying doesn't even begin to talk about what needs to happen in our homes. Tidying suggests you won't be ashamed if somebody walks in the door. Emptying is another story altogether. So then I read The Minimalist Home by Joshua Becker. Great book. But you'll have to understand, I had a long debate about should I even physically buy the book because then it adds to the clutter, or, you know, do I have to do it on an ebook? But anyway, I thought, no, I better have the physical book so I can write in it, make notes, and stick bookmarks and stuff. And then I realized, you know what, I don't need to be watching TV shows. I don't need to be reading books. I just need to see what does the Bible say on this subject. And that's what led me to the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. Let's just set the scene, Susie. If Jesus is speaking to a crowd. He's in the midst of teaching. Somebody has asked a question about, convince my brother that he needs to divide his inheritance with me. And he stops then and he says, watch out. And in my NIV translation, there's an exclamation point. Watch out. Also translated, be careful, take heed, beware, observe. The Greek really nails it. See, perceive, or attend to. So the idea is open your eyes, but not just your eyes. Open your mind. Spiritually see what's going on here. We think it's about stuff. God is saying, it's so much bigger than that, my beloved one. It's so much bigger what I'm trying to say to you. So when Jesus says, watch out, that means we've got to open our eyes. He goes on to say, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Keep from all covetousness is one translation. Susie, when was the last time you used the word covetousness, really?
Oh, it was about 4 weeks ago. I'm just kidding. It's been a while. Well, I want so. You know, I wish so much I would have used it, but I haven't.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's kind of a old school word. We don't really reach for it, and maybe that in part because it's not in our vernacular anymore. So I love this expansion of it: the immoderate desire for wealth, the greedy longing to have more. Okay, now my toes are fully stepped on, longing to have more. See, one of the challenges with downsizing for us has been it's not just about getting out of the big house and getting rid of the big stuff, but you're choosing the small house and figuring out what you're going to bring into it. And it's shocking to me that even in this far less square footage, I'm still buying stuff. What is that about? It's like, no, all that stuff out of the old house, that's all fine. We'll bring what we can. But I need this new thing because I have this new house that has a different feature than the other house had. Oh, my goodness. It is minute by minute an undoing for me. I'm being undone by God in being shown how incredibly materialistic, greedy, selfish, turned inward I am. And I guess really today is just about using your airwaves to make this really ugly confession, Susie. I'm not there yet.
You know, Lizzie, I appreciate this so much. And I know there are times when we go through these refining seasons where he shines the light. And it is so important, I think, in the process. It is amazing and interesting to me how when God seeks to bring humility, the enemy seeks to bring humiliation. And I would love to know, I mean, he does it every time. That's his MO. You know, if God's doing a sacred work, the enemy will seek to defile that work. And I don't believe God ever humiliates his people. He does humiliate our enemies, but not us. And I wonder, how have you sorted through that? Anybody going through a house after 26 years or whatever, you have a lot to sort through. There's a lot emotionally, there's mess. And then you do see our excess. And how have you managed to navigate that with grace, but also conviction?
Right. Well, there's the question. And I'm in the midst of it. What, let me just put some real figures to this so your audience could gasp with us. Because we downsized significantly, we left 85% of what we own at the other house and brought 15 here.
Wow.
And that's all this little house can hold. And I say that not with pride or with anything. I just want you to get what's back at the bigger barn. And the challenge with that was not what I thought it would be. It was not choosing what I love most. This is where the Marie Kondo thing kicks in. She says things should spark joy. So Bill and I would say to each other, kind of jokingly, kind of not, does that spark joy? Does that spark joy? And we'd have discussions about sparks my joy, but it steps on mine, you know. So back and forth about, you know, as a couple, what can we agree needs to come to the new house? But we haven't even sold the old house yet because we have to first get rid of everything that's in it. And so that just to get that visual picture, of the barn. And I laugh because we did not build a bigger barn, as this teaching is going to show us. That was his problem. He had a lot of stuff, so he built a bigger barn. We didn't do that. We bought a house with a barn, the old house, had a barn to it. Can I just say, never, 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 never buy a property bigger that, you know, that will store more than what you need. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that. And we're begging our grown kids to learn from our lesson. Because if you have space, you will fill it. You'll pull over at that yard sale and say, oh, look at that fantastic piece of furniture. And look how cheap it is. Well, we can just store it in the barn and then someday we'll refinish it. And then, it, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have 26 years of those kind of stories. It's not that the things there are expensive. It's fact it's that they're not. It's they're junk. It's trash. But we think we have to have it. So it isn't even about the dollar value. Probably the rich ruler, the rich man here was at least had good stuff. we have stuff nobody even wants. That's the sad thing. But money was still spent on it. And this is what God is saying to me is, how, Liz, moving forward, Liz, what are you learning from this that you can do differently? So let's press on through the parable, and I'll try and weave in something I'm learning in the process, I hope. Luke 12:15 goes on, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. But listen to this translation. Owning a lot of things won't make your life safe. And that's, I think, what we're doing. We are surrounding ourselves with things so that we feel it's almost like armor. It's sort of protecting us from who knows what, exposure of some kind, of being seen for who we truly are. If we surround ourselves with our stuff, then nobody can see our emptiness and our brokenness. The message says life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. One of the dangers is we can say, well, who has a lot? I mean, there's my lot, and then there's your lot, and there's somebody who has a whole lot more. And then, Susie, there's people who have a whole lot less. It isn't actually the amount. It's the fact that we have to surround ourselves with stuff at all. So then Jesus says, the Bible says, he told them this parable. I love the fact that Jesus is a storyteller because he demonstrates to us over and over again the power of narrative. When I met Jesus, and I just celebrated my 37th birthday of the Lord. When I met Jesus, I was convinced the only book you ever needed to read was the Bible. And the second was a book by Chuck Swindoll. whoever was happening at the time, you know, Chuck Swindoll.
Okay, Lindsay, I have to jump here because we've got a break. We've got to stop. So we're going to pause. We're going to pick up the story when we come back. And I see some texts coming in. And when we come back from the break, I'm reading some of these texts because God is moving in your lives. I love that. And we'll pick up this story where we left off talking to Liz Curtis Higgs. Text in what God is teaching you, 877-933-2484. And if we can pull you a surprise book off our Faith Radio shelf, that's just fun. So email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, and every month, Lord willing, we'll have our good friend Liz Curtis Higgs join us. And normally we do this where we unpack a story from one of her books right out of Scripture that she really brings to life. This is a different show today, though. We're talking about something God's been speaking to Lizzie about, dealing with her about, and inviting you to join in the conversation. What is God talking to you about? And Debbie writes in, she says, first of all, welcome back, Susie. Love this show with Liz Curtis Higgs. God's been teaching me to trust in him alone and not people. Another listener writes in, Susan says, my friend and I are enjoying listening to you both. We are on an adventure. She's borrowing your word there, Lizzie, of watching my 20-year-old son, Spencer, in the hospital with a blood infection, degenerative brain disorder. Our family and friends are witnessing God's wow all the time, even though the end result does not look good. We wrestle with God's love and acceptance and goodness, even in the difficult times. Wow. God bless you, Susan. And this gal says, welcome home, Susie. The circle. Oh, it's Michael. Sorry, guy. He says, welcome home, Susie. The circle is now complete. Yay, that's a blessing. Terry says, such a blessing to have you and Liz back on the air again. Love it. God's been speaking to me to pray for others, not just for family and friends, like all you all on Faith Radio, but for the lost and the ones walking in spiritual darkness. That's fantastic, Terry. And Les says, having been asking God to grow our faith in this season and increase our trust in him, he gives us what we need when we need it. I was doing my reading now, and Luke 16:10 came up. If you are faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the large things. If you're dishonest in the little things, you will not be honest with greater responsibilities. And this dear one writes in, I totally know the feeling of hanging on to stuff and would love to let go of my material clutter. You can say health issues have hindered me from doing this, but 15 minutes a day at working at it would make a dent in it. Love your show. Went into a slump when you were off the air. Love that you're back. Thank you so much. And finally, this one says, here, listening to your radio station, trying to gain some strength. May the Lord give you exactly what you need, dear friend. All right, Lizzie, just had to give a little highlight on some of those.
Wow.
Back to this story. Yeah, I just, you know, people are walking through things, and God is speaking.
Wow.
And I just notice when he speaks to one, often he speaks to others when they share their story. So thanks for letting me do that. Okay, back to
you've got amazing listeners. Can I just say these are some wonderful people. It's a joy to encourage them. Well, we were chatting about the fact that Jesus is a storyteller, and I was saying that when I met him, I was convinced the only book we ever needed to read was the Bible. Well, of course, I still think it's the one we need to read. But I confess I was very dismissive of fiction, Christian fiction. I thought, no. Why would you ever waste time reading a story? And then I read Francine Rivers' Mark of the Lion series, and I said, oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see the power of story. And we should see it because Jesus told stories. He could have said to them, let me tell you about a guy named John, a real person. But instead, he reaches for a story. And I think it's because stories, in some ways, go deeper. If we're hearing a true story about John over here, we can take an attitude of, well, poor John. You know, he didn't get it right, but I will. But when it's a story, we all enter in to the protagonist, the life of the person in the story, and suddenly realize, oh, it's about me. It's not about John over there. It's about me. And so Jesus begins his story. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. Okay, the good news is it doesn't say that this guy worked his fingers to the bone. It said he had good ground. His land grew a very good crop of food is another translation. So far, so good, because God is the one who gives us the increase. So the land was good. He took good care of it, and it produced. So just saying this to set us all free, there is no shame in making money, in producing food. That part is fine. The fact that the guy's wealthy is not what makes him a bad guy or that he has great property. So far, so good. But then the verse says, he thought to himself. And see, this is our first problem is when we think to ourselves instead of turning to God and saying, hey, Lord, look at all this abundance. What should I do with it? But that's not what he does. He thought to himself, what shall I do? What do I do? And this is my big sticking point for myself is so often I turn to my own wisdom, little W for that wisdom, instead of turning to the Lord, turning to his word, or even turning to a wise friend or believer, another person. I'm just going to trust my own thinking. What shall I do? I have no place, Luke 12:17 says, I have no place to store my crops. Also translated, I don't have a place large enough to store everything. Again, lots of stuff, not a problem. Think of the things you could do with the stuff. I think this is my personal heartache, is when I look at these things, let's just say I paid $100 for something. Now, my kids don't want it. It's brown furniture. I can't remember how old your own children are, Susie, but can I just say young adults don't want their parents brown, what they call brown
Indeed.
Furniture.
They want gray. You know, That's the color right now.
It is. It is exactly the color right now. But they want, you know, I mean, antiques, whatever, they don't want that. They want IKEA, and it lasts for 5 years or whatever, and then you throw it away. And so so these things that, let's say we paid $100 for, we literally cannot give away. They're of so little value. And so, you know, for me, I start thinking, Lord, what could I have done with that $100 20 years ago when I bought that table? And not that I can go back. I can't change what I did. But I can change what I'm doing going forward. And so we're trying to be so thoughtful about what you do with the excess. And I just refused. I have one friend who's literally burning her furniture. She's just burning it. It's like I don't have the energy to drag it off to anywhere. I don't have the space to have a yard sale. We can have fires in our town. I'm going to burn my furniture. Well, I'm trying to be slightly more maybe useful than that. But we get it. That's what it gets to. So we go on with the verse. Verse 18, he says, then he said, this is what I'll do. So I want you to see how many times we have the word I. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I mean, wow. Does anybody else besides me need to see that today? That it's I. It's what I call living in the key of me, me, me. And I really appreciate, Susie, what you said earlier about it's not about being humiliated, that that's of the enemy. I really appreciate that because this has been humiliating for me. And I now realize, okay, humbling, I know that's a good thing. So I'm moving towards that, but it's still very, 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 very humbling, as in flat to the ground. And I want to learn from that. I feel certain that your listeners are farther along this road than I am. Maybe somebody who's already downsized and learned some things in the process would love to hear them, because I'm now realizing I cannot turn to myself for the answers. I've got to turn to the Lord, his word, and his people. So he goes on in verse 18, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. No. Surplus grain could feed people, but we want to hang on to it. I don't know, in case we get to a time when there is no grain and we want to make sure we have enough for ourselves. I'm never sure what it's about, but we do hoard, we do keep, we do store up. And he goes on in verse 19, and I'll say to myself, we're still in I, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Okay, we're really at this point in our lives, Susie, where it's like, you know what? We got stuff stored up. We can retire now. Not to say that retirement is necessarily taking life easy, eat, drinking, and be merry, but it's pretty close. It's very close to that. And I know Kay Arthur once said there is no retirement in times of war. And the spiritual battle continues for all of us. We don't get to just kick back and say, good, I got what I need. I'm good. Let me just eat, drink, and be merry. And of course, after walking through this man's thoughts, all very self-centered, now it's time for the Lord to speak, Luke 12:20. But God said to him, this is a but God, one of those wonderful but gods. But God said to him, you fool. There is this reckoning, I think, when God says this to us, you fool, the most humbling point. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Yeah, who will get it? You know, the challenge is, if we don't deal with this, we are sticking it on our kids to deal with it. And we just, in a practical sense, we just went through that. Darling Bill's, both his parents passed away in close succession, both from cancer. And they did nothing to prepare for that. They built the bigger barn. They filled the bigger barn. And they died with the bigger barn full of stuff. Bill's an only child. He got all the stuff. This was only about 2 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, oh, yeah. So poor Bill brought all the stuff to our stuff. We got rid of some, but we kept an awful lot because we're still back to that. You got to hang on to the stuff. So it is just such a journey. Yes, an adventure, but it feels more like a journey. That is to say, a hard road. But God is faithful, and he teaches us from each other, from his word, so maybe we can make wiser choices the rest of this day. I don't even say make a wiser choice tomorrow. I'm saying, how could I make a better choice this afternoon? One of your callers, or texters rather, said 15 minutes a day of getting something organized, getting rid of stuff, is a step forward. I love that. So when we're finished with our conversation, God has already said that your first 15 minutes, Liz, I want you to work in this corner that you're looking at right now.
You know, Lizzie, I think you could, I mean, not to give you another thing to do, but I'm really seeing an allegory, a novel that's an allegory shaping up here, because there's so much here. I mean, Jesus did speak a lot about stewardship. And we often look at that, as we should, with time, treasure, talents, how you steward what's been entrusted to you. But it definitely applies to our bent towards excess and self-preservation and self-indulgence and those kinds of things. And I'm thinking allegory because you think of all the stuff that we gather, like stuff now you're saying really was worth something at some point. It's kind of worthless now. You can't even give it away. You think of how many people live their lives really chasing things, chasing the wind, like Solomon did, and they get to the end of their lives and they can't even give away what they've accumulated, whether it's titles or accomplishments, whatever. Maybe they've neglected everything that matters for the sake of stuff that really has no value anymore. I feel like you could do a masterful job on an allegory that causes us to stop and think, life on earth is short, eternity is long, and I want to steward my life in every single way, in ways that matter. Because when we store up for ourselves, Jesus says, so there's nothing, and he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It means he wants us to have something ahead where no moth can destroy, no rust can destroy. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, if you're thinking about the novel, oh my goodness, it overwhelms me to think of it. It also delights me because one of the things that's so wonderful about our Lord is he will take the hard things that we learn and use them in a positive way to help others. So if that's, you know, what God is nudging you to say to me, I'm listening, because never are we to go through any kind of experience, a hard one, that isn't meant to be shared to encourage others. There is a happy ending, a positive result. It's like with the cancer piece for me. One of the joys of cancer, and I have a friend who blinks every time I say that, but one of the joys of cancer is going through a hard thing so you can turn around and say to others, it's not as hard as you think with Jesus. And so perhaps this is what God is saying to me, to your listeners, is don't make this hard, because I'm making it so hard that I'm not sleeping well. I'm eating too well. Everybody does different things with food. Yes. But, you know, for me, I'm a stress eater. That eat, drink, and be merry, not the drinking part, but the eat and be merry, I do very, very, very well, ignoring sometimes the other things that should be happening. And so if God is saying this, let's just take this today as something he's saying, not to just Lizzie and to Susie, but to each one of your listeners in some way. What can we learn from this beautiful story in Scripture? It concludes in Luke 12:21. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. I think if we can focus on being rich toward God, what to do with the stuff will be an easier answer. Because I do believe there are ways for Bill and I to bless people with our stuff. We're just trying to figure out what it is. And of course, you can give it to charity, though I wonder, after Marie Kondo, if the Goodwills of the world aren't saying, stop bringing us your stuff. Spark joy in it yourself, because we don't know what to do with it all. In that overabundance of stuff, we're asking God, Lord, what can we do, even at this point where we've sort of blown it and we've amassed too much stuff, Lord, what can we do with it still to redeem it, use it for your glory, and please, Lord, learn from the experience.
So again, friends, as we're talking about what God's dealing with in us, and I want to highlight again, it just feels like an important word for all of us, that God will, when he deals with his children, he does that because he loves us, and he does bring us to a place of humility, because we're never nearer to the heart of God when we are in a humble place. But you know that enemy will leverage in humiliation. They're two different things, two different sources. So I want to read an excerpt from Lizzie's book as we get ready to go to break. Embrace Grace is the book, and Lizzie writes, be assured no one, man, woman, or child, says I love you with more certainty than the Lord. His regard for us goes far beyond kind words and warm feelings. He is a show-and-tell love. He has a show and tell love held up for all the world to see. So even in this mess, he saw it before we got there. He's not rolling his eyes. He's not breathing a heavy sigh. He's not disgusted by the mess. He loves you. He's rolling up his sleeves with you, and his mercies will always win the day. Talking to Liz Curtis-Higgs. When we come back, I'll read a couple more texts that have come in. 877-933-2484. More great conversation in a moment. Okay, I just love that song. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Liz Curtis-Higgs. And we're talking about something God's been talking to her and Bill about, downsizing and this process, what it's done in her soul. But we've also asked you to chime into the conversation. What are some of the things the Lord's speaking to you about? Jerry Poindexter, one of our faithful friend listeners, he says he's lived so many lives after high school, becoming a soldier, traveling musician, done so many things. And now that his wife's nearing retirement, they're looking at the mission field. He's also enrolled to the Northwestern Writers Conference, and which excited about that. He said, God's put some books in me. I have no idea how to write, but Liz is right. It's always God, and it always will be. Bless you for that. I think that's amazing. Kelly says, the Lord's been telling me what's important and how to fill time with things of him instead of entertainment for the flesh, sports events, etc. Now I find myself not going so I can spend more time in his presence guarding my bedtime instead of wasting 2 to 3 hours. And one more really important one, Lizzie, listen to this one. After 4 years of dating, God told me with an audible voice a few days ago to stop my marriage plans. This was confirmed the same day by a prophetic utterance from a man who I highly respect. When I received this, a sense of depression I'd been experiencing lifted. Now I'm faced with the horrible prospect of telling a loved one that decision. So, but God's speaking, God's working.
Yeah. That's hard. But can I simply, to that dear listener, affirm this? I went through something very similar where I was thought I was in love with someone and they were my future. And a very wise, much deeper in the Lord friend said, I am standing on the outside looking in and I'm telling you, this is not the man for you. And as hard as those words were to hear, and I broke down, I can see myself right down to the clothes I was wearing and the light in the sky. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That kind of an aha moment. But it was so right. And the depression and the anxiety and all the negative stuff around that relationship lifted so quickly. So I get it. It is correct, dear friend, to follow that lead of the Lord. Well, you know, I'm always about positive. And I think it's important to know that after this story that Jesus tells in Luke 12, then the next portion begins. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, because of everything that came before it, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. And he goes on and he talks about the beautiful comparison to the ravens who God feeds and the wildflowers that don't labor or spin. And then verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock. That's us, little flock. Don't be afraid, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is not something you put in a barn. The kingdom is not something you have to deal with taking to Goodwill to get rid of. The kingdom is so much bigger and so much richer. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. That is such a word for me of where we are right now. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. And of course, verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is, I know his word for me today, and I pray it's a word for you and for your listeners. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We often think our heart is wrapped up in our treasure, in the stuff that we have, that it gives us pleasure or, as it were, sparks joy. But nothing sparks joy like Jesus. And frankly, nothing sparks joy like helping other people. Not amassing for yourself, but helping other people. One of the, literally need to explore this today, but I've heard about where you give your stuff not to some place that's going to turn around and sell it, but you give your furnishings to a ministry where people can come in who are in need and they can put a new house together. They can have some furniture. There's no charge for it. Money is not changing hands. No profit, just a blessing. And I think maybe we need to be thinking more that way, is how to bless others without charging them in the process.
Boy, that's great. I would love to know more about that once you discover that. Tom wrote in, he says, I want to tell Liz, I feel it so strongly. She's got this. I know it's going to work out. That stress of cleaning, he says, relax in God. It will all work out. And I think that's a good word, Lizzie, because you can sure see with a task the size of this, and you still are going through cancer treatments, for crying out loud. You know, my old college roommate used to say, you can't open all the drawers at the same time. Like, when you can't look at everything all at the same time. And I just love that analogy because I would do that. I'd open all the drawers.
That's so brilliant because, yes, you open all the drawers, the darn thing will just tip right over.
Indeed, exactly. But I'm trying to imagine you're not on full strength. And if you're opening up all the drawers at the same time and looking at this task, just that, I think, would weigh on your physiology. So I'm wondering, maybe the 15 minutes a day, maybe there's some kind of tangible grace you can give yourself, and friends listening to the same thing, you know, where we're not buried by the task. It's a noble cause. You move forward in it without it killing you, though, you know?
Yes. Okay. I have feel. Should I send you money for this? We've had this lovely therapy session today, so I feel like I need to somehow pay for it. But, you know, as I said, we pray that these things are an encouragement to your listeners and that they either see themselves in the journey I'm going through or that you're going through, or they learn from it. That is, I think, my deepest desire, is to help the next generation not make the same mistake. And I believe they're actually getting there. The whole minimalist movement, the less is more, really is kind of the heartbeat of the next generation. So maybe they have learned from us. I hope so.
Boy, so good. Well, we've drawn so much from you, and I know as listeners have chimed in, you really are triggering and speaking to something in their hearts. And here's another excerpt from your book, Embrace Grace. No matter what we've done, we can relax in God's presence. It kind of goes back to Tom's word. No matter what we've done, we can relax in God's presence. Think of it. No need to tremble or hide or cower in shame. He knows everything about us and genuinely loves us, not in spite of us, but because of who we are. I mean, tell me, Liz, don't you just inspire yourself when you hear those words?
I have to tell you, Susie, talk about humbling. You have to hear my own words written. Let's see. That was 2006, you know, 13 years ago. Have to hear my own words back. Well, you know, it's what Anne Bonskamp says. You got to preach to yourself sometimes.
Indeed.
And in our low times, we forget the truth. In our low times, we beat ourselves up so unmercifully and, of course, helped by the enemy. This is his favorite thing to do. The accuser, the brethren, loves to beat us up all day with what we have done wrong, are doing wrong, and probably will do wrong. But our God, who loves us, do not be afraid, little flock, the scripture says. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. What I love about our Lord is he is not going to take away my salvation because of any foolishness that I've done. There is that truth, that reality, that it's the one thing I can't throw away, give away, or get rid of, is that my salvation and my inclusion in his kingdom is secure, not because of anything I've done or who I am, but because of who he is and what he has done on the cross.
Amen. Well, Lizzie, I have to wrap with this text that came in. My father gave me the best lesson when he went to the nursing home and was parting with all of his worldly treasures but a few. I thought he would be sad. He said, oh, no, I had my time. I had my time to be a young father, had my time to be a worker, had my time to live in this home with all of my things. Now is just a different time. It's all a different time. We need to pause here. Lizzie, we love you, appreciate you, can't wait to our conversation next month. And we thank you for tuning in today. Pray you found some encouragement here. I want to say a special shout out to our producers extraordinaire, Kim Sanders and Carissa Rogers. They bring quality programming every day and work so hard behind the scenes. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow to hear my conversation with John Ortberg about his fantastic book, Eternity is Now in Session. Walk intimately with God and remember this, it's impossible for him to fail you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.